I'm going to Yeah.
So if it's turned upside down, the bench of 3 or the 7 or 12.
Yeah. Well, when you operate from a new perspective, the bench of 3 empower everyone else to go and hear God for themselves. Yes. So if the bench of 7 needs to make a decision on what we're doing in the church, they go and engage heaven and get it. So long as it's within the jurisdiction we have of our blueprint, then anything's fine. I don't really bother which way they do what they're called to do, so long as they do it. I just want to empower them to go and ask God, and then they do it. You know, you get a verdict when you release people to do it themselves that you want. I just want people to do what God's saying to do. So we empower. We support, we encourage, we empower. So if someone, let's say someone came to us and said, well, we have this vision from God. We really believe God wants us to do this. So we look at it, look at our blueprint. Do we have the jurisdiction to do this? No. So what we will say is, look, we don't feel corporately that we're called to do this, but you obviously have a vision for this. How can we empower you to do this? Because it isn't done. Everything isn't done with inside one thing. You have authority to do things yourself. Because your spheres of influence and what you're called to do may overlap with what the corporate's called to do, but may also be beyond it. So we would never limit anyone doing anything like that. Because if God has called them, we need to empower them. Although corporately, we may not be able to do it. You know, someone can come to us and say, well, we're called to establish an orphanage in Africa. So we look at our blueprint. Are we called to do that? Is this within our jurisdiction? No. But, okay, what can we do to help you? Who can we connect you with? What is the vision? How can we help you develop it? Because we have an enterprise mountain, which is our mountain, which helps people develop their visions and dreams, whether they're part of the church one or not. And so we're working with a guy at the moment who has a fantastic vision, and he has a way of engaging people in the judicial processes with children, dyslexic people, in a visual way of learning and a visual way of presenting things. It's called a visual grid system. He has gone all over the world, and governments have talked to him, and they want him to go into their nation to be able to put this system in place. But he's a sole trader. He's got no company behind him. So they say, well, who do we contact? How do we organize? They look at his system and say, you haven't got the infrastructure to be able to do this. Because he's just one person with a vision. And he does amazing things. But the way God wants to expand it, he needs help. So he comes. He connects with me at a regional gathering. He starts talking to me. I start to see some things on him. I start saying, oh, what's God calling you to do? Where's your vision? So he starts saying, so I invite him to come over for lunch the next day. So he comes over, we spend the afternoon with him. I start drawing out all the stuff, you know, and he's just like, I'm thinking, wow, I'm seeing now the bigger picture. He can't see the bigger picture. I can see if you teach people, kids and everything else, a visual way, then when they come to receive salvation, they'll receive it in an encounter because they're open for visual ways of encountering. So I'm seeing the whole world can be impacted by this to prepare for a generation to come and encounter God at salvation rather than having to go through the wilderness. So I'm thinking, wow, we've got to, how do I see him help? Because he can't see the bigger picture because he's dyslexic himself. That's why he developed this thing. So I say, look, we have a mountain. These people will help you develop what your vision is. So I introduce them to them. They met with him. They've met with him lots of times. They've now developed the company. They've got the company. They've got the structure put in place. They're there to help him fulfill the vision that he couldn't do without support. So we help each other. And some of those things are what we do. And all our mountains have been engaged with our enterprise men because they come and ask them questions. You know, ask them to see how the order of things goes so that they can develop stuff. You can't just go and do something without having the insight and understanding of how to do it. Well, we have a mountain that helps people do that. So they're accessible to people who learn. So when it comes to a decision like that, each of our individual mountains, they have the authority to go to God and get their own blueprint, get their own mandate for that blueprint, and then outwork it. So they don't have to come to us and ask permission. They already have got permission because we've given it to them. So our bench of seven is an example. Our bench of seven engage God for the environment of the church. They look at what we're doing and how we do it. And they then begin to look at how can people find their destiny? How can we help people to be free? So they organize the ministry and the meetings and stuff. So they came to me one day and they said, we don't want you to teach on a Sunday anymore because we feel there's something God wants to do. So I said, okay, that's fine. What's the strategy? Well, the strategy is we've got a whole load of new people are coming, people who are... Okay. Okay, that's all right. I'm still plugged in. There's still power. Okay. Yeah. And so it was like, okay, that's fine. But get a heavenly strategy for this. So sent them back. Then they come back and said, well, what we actually feel God said is, you carry on speaking, but you do it to the people who are tracking with you. And now we'll do another parallel speaking thing on a Sunday for all the new people so we can put spiritual foundations in. So yeah, praise God. Awesome. First of all, I thought, oh, great, I'm going to have every Sunday off. No, because it doesn't bother me. You see, they have authority for that sphere, and I'm in that sphere, so they have authority to bless me and to bring order. I don't think, how dare they come and tell me I can't speak? Because actually, it's their responsibility to bring that, and I trust them to do it, because I'm submitted to the structure, because I'm part of the structure. My responsibility as the bench of three is to ensure that we're outworking our heavenly blueprint and that we're empowering people to do that. So we're only going to do it if everyone's empowered. Right. Now, what would have been for is no one could possibly come to the senior leader and say, you can't speak anymore. You know, they'd be out the door, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but in this way, it operates completely differently. We don't function that way. So everyone's empowered. Now, we're a point of reference. So quite often they'll say, we saw this, what do you think? And we say, okay, we'll have a look at it. Oh, this is really great. What about this? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Yeah, oh, we'll go away and think about it a bit more. And actually, all it does is empower and encourage. Now, you know, God spoke to me about this whole process because it's a balance getting it right. You don't want to leave people floundering so they feel, oh, we don't know how to do this, we don't know how to do it. So you want to give them some support. But you don't want to give them so much support that they only do it the way you want them to do it. So last year, God inspired me quite a lot to do creative things. You know, I hadn't done creative things for a while, and last year I was inspired. So I did DIY around the house. I put a new bathroom in, retiled it, did a whole lot of things, started doing gardening and stuff. You know, my gardening up to that point was under sufferance of my wife because she likes flowers. You know, so it was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll do that. But then all of a sudden I got inspired to grow things. So I created new flower beds. I did this. I dug up this. I did that. And then it was like I built a greenhouse. So I built a greenhouse. So I had a desire to grow, cultivate. Well, I know this is all God-inspiring stuff because I knew it was him. So, you know, and then I was able to sort of use that to do things. I did that with my grandchildren. We had strawberry plants, so I put all the runners, I made them plant, they showed them how to plant runners, then they had their own plants this year. So then they came and ate their own strawberries. Every time they come up, have we got any strawberries on our plant? I said, well, go and look. You know, or can we have them? I said, well, your plants? Yeah, of course you can. So then I thought, okay, I'm going to grow some vegetables and things, so tomatoes. Now notice I said it the right, well, the wrong way for me, but the right way for you. And so I took them through the process. We're going to plant some seeds. So I put the seeds. We have this little incubator thing for seeds. All the seeds come up. So we're going to prick them out. We're going to plant them in pots. Come on. Then it took them through the process. Now we're going to plant them in the greenhouse. So we're going to plant them, and we're going to see how they grow. So then while I was doing it, I said, well, how are we going to do this? So God said, I want you to do it two ways. Because he can talk to you about gardening. Yes, he's a good gardener. And he said, I want you to do it two ways. I want you to plant these three here, because there were three different varieties of tomatoes I was growing. And he said, put them up canes. So put canes in and grow them up the cane. Then he said, over here, I want you to do these plants, and I want you to grow them up strings. So just let some loose strings be attached to a wire at the top, let them come down, and then just wind them around. So I've been just watching how they've been growing, seeing how much crop they're producing and everything else. And the ones on the canes are really nice, straight, tall plants. They got up to about the top of the greenhouse, and I pinched them out so they couldn't go any further. And they're about 7 foot high. The ones over the other side with strings are just the most misshapen things you can think of. They've grown in sort of this and that, and the others have just found their own way, and some of them are like 10, 12 feet tall. I've got a massive crop off them because I gave them enough support that they wouldn't collapse, but I didn't rigidly give them support they could only go in one direction to one height. So you have to give enough support to help encourage that people to grow in the way they should grow, not in the way you think they should grow. Because ultimately, yes, I did get some crop off this, but it was a very rigid shape. It looked like the cane that I put into support. Whereas the string ones, you know, did look a bit odd because they wound around a bit. You know, and sometimes they got a bit close to each other and all that stuff. But actually, I got a much bigger crop. And God was teaching me a lesson. Because it's so easy to get the balance wrong, one way or the other. To start with, I was too loose. I empower everyone to go and do whatever God's calling them to do. And they're all like, well, what are we supposed to do? I'm panicking because I don't know what to do. You know. And then sometimes it's like you sort of a bit more rigid, heavy-handed, and it was just like, no, that's not really the way. So, you know, I find a balance. You know, I'm there to provide whatever support is needed, and when I'm asked, I provide more support, or if God tells me, but actually, I want to encourage people to do it themselves. So everyone can hear God if we teach people how. So all our leaders have gone through the Engaging God program. They can all hear God. They can all go into heaven. They've all got their mountains. They've all got corporate mountains. They're all doing the stuff. They know how to use the court system. Why? Because we did multiple court cases together. You know, we showed them by practice. We've got legislation. We made laws. We did it together. So we modeled it. Then we encouraged them to go away. And one day someone came from our Harmony Mountain to our bench of 12 and they said, we have been given three laws. I thought, oh, yippee, what are they? Well, the law of inheritance, the law of restitution, and the law of recognition. I thought, well, that sounds great. That sounds a real good three things that are going to create something. So I said, well, what is the law they say? Oh, we don't know. I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, we just got the names. So I thought, okay. So I thought, for a second, I thought, well, I'm going to just tell you to go away and get the things. But then God said to me, no. Do it together. So we went through the process of getting what each of those laws was. We went through the process, going in heaven, going before the right courts, getting things. And you get all sorts of a mixture of stuff. When you get a corporate people go into heaven, they come back with all sorts of stuff. So we just recorded it all, get it down on paper. So then as a bench of three, we looked at it and we asked God, hey, we need a strategy here for what all this means. Because some of it comes out of the Holy Spirit realm and people get little pictures. You know, because not everyone's fully functioning in everything. I go into there and look at a law, I just get the whole law. You know, because that's how I've learned to function and I've been doing it for a long time. So it's really quite straightforward to go and get a law. You know, I went with the Mountain Time group in the legislative group recently and we went in and did an engagement and we were going to do the law of Jubilee. Because they were saying, well, what is this Jubilee? I said, well, you know, A, no one knows the real date of anything because it's like there's so many different dates out there. So is it a Jubilee of Jubilees? Well, actually, we're in perpetual Jubilee. So forget all that. We're in perpetual Jubilee because we're in the day where the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's been poured out and debts have been cancelled. So perpetual Jubilee, not just once every so many years. We can live in that all the time. So it's like, okay, so I thought, oh, well, let's go and do something, see what God shows. So we stepped in heaven, went to the court kings, got a scroll. And it's like, normally I just watch and see what's going on. I don't normally get involved because sometimes I can get lost when I get involved. And then I'm like, gone somewhere. So it's like, there's people there waiting for me to finish or do the thing and I'm sort of somewhere else. You know, so I normally just observe or, you know, just wait. But this time I felt God say, no, I want to give you a law of Jubilee. So I'm like, okay. So I go there, present the scrolls there. I get this whole law of Jubilee. You know, all you're authorized to do this, you're authorized to do that. On the power of this, you're authorized to do that. So that's how I function because I'm used to that. Other people are learning, so they get different parts. Now, what we discovered when we had this sort of mixture of stuff, because it was a mixture, And we couldn't, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, how are we going to sort this out? Because I didn't, because I, my bit was, you're authorized to do this. It was really straightforward. All the rest of it wasn't. So we asked God for a strategy to see what was in this law. So we then found that there was the preamble, the context. And some people brought some scriptures. And that gave the context to the law. Then there was the jurisdiction of the law. What is this law? Who's it for? What's the boundary that you can use it? And then there was the actual statements of authorization. And then there was that this is the result that you can call forth on the basis of that authorization. So there's four parts of the law. Now, if I'd gone and done it myself, all I would have got would have been a whole lot of authorizations. Because I already know the context. So I would need that. But when you give people who are learning this, you need to actually give them a framework in which to learn how to do it. So in doing that, we had the framework. And then we brought it all out. We brought it all together. We had all the three laws, how they functioned together. We then got it authorized, went to the Court of Chancellors. And this was the first time I've ever done this to the group. We were there. We stepped into heaven. We all took this law to the Chancellor's Court. We're going to get it authorized. Sealed, lion, ox, eagle, man. So we go there, I'm sort of thinking, and I end up sitting at the bench because I've got a chance to seal and I can engage the court. I sit at the bench, the thing gets presented and I seal it with the man, the ring, because I got a seal, which is the ring of the man, and I sealed it. So I didn't say anything. It was just like, yeah, just did it. So then we're going around, because often after we've done the engagement, I want to see what, did people see anything? Did they get a perspective? You know, were there any cloud of witnesses around? You know, were there any angels around? What was going on other than what we were doing? Because often I just focus and I don't look around that much, but other people can see things I don't see. So let's get a picture. So we did that, and everyone sort of shared something, except Nigel, who's a friend of mine. He's one of the bench three, and he basically was quiet. So I looked at him and said, well, didn't you get anything? He said, well, yeah. So what was it? He said, well, I saw you sit down at the bench and seal it. But I didn't want to say, just in case I didn't see it right. Because, you know, you can say things in any way, but if you're saying that you saw someone do it and they're sat next to you, but I said, yeah, that was absolutely what I did, which was a confirmation for him and a confirmation for me. So God does things like that. You have to learn, and in the learning process, you help people grow and mature. You know, and you put some framework in when they're growing and maturing that later on they won't need, but it helps them. So, you know, that's really where we are in some of those things. So basically, we're at a point where we do need to be removed from the coverings and blindness that has been put on us and get unplugged from the religious system that's kept us in bondage. You know, let's start to arise, shine as stars, because we're going to see the restoration of heavenly government and authority so that the kingdom can be manifested on earth as is in heaven. 2012, I prophesied this three-year period of preparation. I'd gone through an intense period of preparation myself, and then for the whole year I taught the transformation series about how you can, I just basically shared my testimony over and over again of different things that God had taken me through to transform me. But I knew we were on a period of intense preparation, of removing stumbling blocks to be prepared for the judgment that was coming. So it was an intense time as a church. We went through a lot of change. A lot of reorganization, a lot of, hey, we didn't get this right, we need to put it right, you know, because God showed us that we're on a journey. So then the 8th of August 2015 was the end of that 40-year period last year, and it was a really significant day. The day before that, I went to an Ian Clayton conference in Cardiff, just for the day, went to it on the 7th, and I had an amazing encounter while I was there. And I knew that that was significant. And I was there. They started worship. I just got lost. I mean, I was just like, you know, I was gone, completely out of it. And four of the men in white linen stood next to me. Joshua, on my right. Joseph on my left. Enoch behind me and Daniel in front of me. And they stood and they held up my hands. And I was so empowered. I mean, it empowered me like anything else, because they stood next to me, and what they revealed was this wasn't just the Joshua generation, it was the Joseph generation, it was the Enoch generation, it was the Daniel generation, because the books are opened. we can walk in the heavens like Enoch. We can prepare, like Joseph, to be brought out from the obscurity of prison, where we've been locked up and unrecognized, onto a stage where we're going to be given authority. And we can, like Joseph, prepare the storehouses to be ready for the harvest to receive the 20%. So I'm like, whoa. After that, I felt empowered. I mean, really empowered by it, because I know that God was showing me that to say, this is what he's releasing to this generation, the support of the cloud of witnesses. And to understand the nature, the fullness of who we are, and that the next day we then went into this basically change. You know, the end of the old and the beginning of the new. A completely new governmental order, essentially living according to the order of Melchizedek. The lion, the ox, the eagle, and man, heavenly government. Royal priesthood. But a royal priesthood in heaven needs an agreement on earth. Because the foundations of everything on earth are as a result of the ark in heaven, royal priest, apostolic prophetic foundations in the earth. Foundations, not the roof. So that is what God was saying that we're coming to. I mean, Arthur Burt, I love Arthur Burt. He's great. It's empirical stuff that I find fascinating. And it's like, he's recently said, the end of the ruler and the beginning of the priest. You know, because the ruler was the apostolic prophetic order that tried to then bring government, and we need now to be the priest who enters into the heavenlies to engage in the intimate things of God so that that can be brought on the earth, not just creating more and more man-made structures and things that are on the earth. So there is life after church. There's the real church. But you may need to be called out of the old system of it to come into the new system of it, because deep is calling to deep. And 2012 marked the beginning of that call. Something happened in 2012. I know it was the end of an old order, because the whole circle of the deep, all the heavens, had revolved once, 25,000 years. That was why people kept talking about the end of the Mayan calendar, was the end of the world. It was the end of the world. It was the end of the spiritual world that we knew, because it ended. But a new one has begun. And a lot of things happened in 2012. I got an email from Mark Verkler, who's, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, Communion with God Ministries. Great, how to hear the voice of God. Excellent, excellent stuff. I really like him. And he released this book, When Heaven Touches Earth. And he sent this book to people, and he asked people to read the book, and if they would endorse it, then he was seeing this as the normalization of heavenly and angelic encounters and a new reformation of the church. And literally that's what he described it of. This would be a reformation. 95 leaders were asked to sign this book. It was an e-book. It was obviously put out there so people can get it around the internet. To sign it as a prophetic act, like Luther pinned his 95 thesis to the Wittenberg church door in Germany. This was this prophetic act, 2012. Now, I read this thing, and it was like my spirit just said, yeah. Now, there was a few things in there which were sort of some limitations a little bit, but generally it was just like, no, this is a really sound document, biblical document that people are going to be able to respond to. And, I mean, I signed it. You know, and eventually, 95 people signed it, and they released that, but it was a call for reformation. The whole church should be called. It was a call for the judgment on the religious institution. But God gave 3 years for people to get ready. And in that 3 years, a lot of people started to connect with the sound that was coming out of heaven. And a lot of people can trace things back to 2012, when things started to move. The Spirit started to resist the restrictions they were under. So it was a call for the true ecclesia of God to rise up. So Ian Clayton stated this. The fivefold ministry order ended on that day. You know, so we're in the time now where there's a gathering. God is calling people to gather around heavenly blueprints to receive the dominion, the authority, the kingdom, and for God's people to come into their rightful position. Earthly and heavenly position. But you can't do it on the earth without establishing it in the heavens first, which is why we've been taught to cross over in that way. So we've had that anniversary. the end of the old, beginning of the new. We're in that place now. Matthew 21:43 says, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it."
Yeah.
Now that was originally talking to Israel, and that the kingdom, because they had not done what they were called to do, were taken away and given to the church. And when Jesus went back into heaven, Daniel 7, he received the kingdom, sat down, was given, ascended. He received the kingdom and he gave it to the people, to us, the saints. And it basically says that kingdom will never end. It will not be given to another people. So there's no other people coming to embrace the kingdom. It's us or nobody. So let's make it us. You know. But as a result of that, a lot of things happen. The old ended because the government was removed. That was what Ian Clayton was talking about. The government was being removed. That end of government had ended and a new order is coming. So the call to cross over intensified. Now, Matthew 23:13. If you read Matthew 23:1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, Jesus was pretty straight. In fact, Jesus was always pretty straight. If any of you think Jesus is gentle, Jesus meek and mild, just read the things he said. Because people kept going on to me, you're really straight. You don't seem to be very compassionate. You know? So I was just, well, that's all right. You know, that's just me. Get over it. Because I'm really nice guy, really. But, so, you know, but people were challenging over that whole issue. You know, because when God starts to speak, people don't like it. You know, they get offended because God's bringing something. And they usually shoot the messenger because they don't like the messenger because he brought the message. So, it's okay. You can shoot me as much as you want. You know, you can't kill me. So what happened was we started to see what was this season. So Matthew 23:13, Jesus removes the kingdom from the authority from a group. And why? "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter yourselves and you do not allow those who are entering to go in." That is the problem with the old order. Jesus said, "Woe." Now, when he said, "Woe to you," it was quite serious because something was coming to an end. And so there is woe out there for those who are stopping people going in. So the whole government of God's being removed from those who have built their mountains for themselves in the wilderness and have failed to equip sons to be mountains. Because we're all mountains of authority. We all have government. But we've not been equipped. So essentially, this is a picture of this. Some of you have seen this before. In heaven, when you have an agreement between heaven and earth, the royal priesthood, you get a blueprint. And so a lot of people with apostolic prophetic gifts drew things out of heaven. They drew good things out of heaven, but they formed a shadow of that on the earth, and then they built on it. And then they sat on top of it. And whether you're a pastor or a prophet or an apostle or even you over your own life, you got to get off the throne. Because that's a copy of heaven, not a reflection. And that's what happened. So this is what should happen. A blueprint comes when you get agreement between the man and the lion. So king and priest, apostolic things form. So you get this shadow. Now when you get a blueprint and light shines on it, what happens? Something forms a shadow. That's what happens when you put something in front of the light. So heaven's light forms a shadow on the earth of that heavenly blueprint. So in the earth, we're supposed to do that. Form a reflection. So on the bottom, bench of three. In me, soul, body, and spirit come into agreement with Father, Son, and Spirit in me. So they're on the throne of my life, which gives me the authority to rule. So whether it's your church, the city, the region, nation, whatever it might be, it has to be that an ark forms in heaven, releases a shadow on the earth. You get another ark, apostolic prophetic foundations, and the foundation is what it is, a foundation, not a covering, not a roof, not on top, but below. And when we embrace that and embrace it in your own life, embrace it in everything you do, you'll find that God will inhabit that. He will come and his glory will fill that. You will be empowered beyond anything you could do from an earthly structure, which is why we must continue to get the revelation of heaven and continually bring heaven and earth into alignment God is calling a Joshua generation to rise up. He's calling us to embrace our destiny as children of God and to come into the fullness of the government that God has for us. But you have to come out from under the shadow of that which is hindering you to fulfill the things. Get unplugged from the matrix that's around you. Let's leave it there. All right. Amen.